listen, think, learn, grow. Listen, think, learn, grow. Live, 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 live.
This is Metaphysical Universe, exploring science and spirituality with Dr. Douglas Kelly and Dr. Vicki Hunter.
Hello and welcome to the Spirit of Life program for Wednesday, February 14th, Valentine's Day, 2018. I'm Dr. Doug Kelly here with Michael Kelly.
Good evening, everyone. Always happy to be here.
Dr. Hunter is on assignment in Sedona, Arizona, having a good time, I hope. The Spirit of Life is a weekly service and educational program of the International Church of Metaphysical Humanism. Our mission is to explore and empower the human spirit as well as to explore science and spirituality. And it's also designed to just encourage. We have a bunch of educational programs, including schools, metaphysics programs, degrees, things that teach practical life skills, the stuff we should have learned when we were growing up and never did. And you can find them on our main website, links on our church website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. I'd like to read our 9 abbreviated principles of belief because we need them always and be reminded of them. And if y'all don't, I sure do, so I'm going to read them. First one's do no harm, do right. Number 2, we believe in the indomitable power of the human spirit. The answers we seek already exist within us. 3, we believe that we alone are responsible for and capable of solving human social problems. 4, we are all equal, one planet, one race, one ancestry, one destiny. 5, we recognize and honor the divine energy that exists in all living things. 6, we are physical and spiritual beings. Consciousness survives death of the physical body. 7, self-acceptance, self-responsibility, and respect for free will create self-completeness. 8, metaphysical education and practical life skills empower the human spirit and enhance the human condition. And 9, expanding human consciousness leads to human evolution and peaceful coexistence. And again, you can find the expanded versions of these 9 principles on our church website at metaphysicalhumanism.org. So we'd like to welcome those joining us for this live program, those in the chat room. Also like to welcome those who are listening to the archive. We appreciate you taking your time. And before we get into our topic tonight, we'd just like to take a moment and acknowledge apparently there was a mass shooting at a high school in Broward County, Florida today. Unfortunate. I'm not going to dwell on it, but I'd like to send positive energy their way to those who lost loved ones, and just take a moment of silence to do that. All right. Now let's move on to topics that hopefully a little bit more positive and a little bit more upbuilding. Since today is Valentine's Day, Michael thought it might be good to talk about relationships, and I think he's right. So we're going to talk about relationships, and I'm going to go over briefly my 10 principles of empowered relationships. It's something that we teach in our schools, of course, B4 on relationships at IMHS, and courses also at TFU, Thomas Francis University, have them as well. And if you have any questions, those listening to the live program, please put them in the chat room, and we'll address those as we get to them. So, 10 principles of empowered relationships. The first one is to know and accept yourself. Know and accept yourself. We can't have a decent relationship with anyone if we don't have a decent relationship with ourselves. And one of the big aspects of this first point, know and accept yourself, is external replication. You know, if we don't know ourselves and we don't have a healthy relationship with ourselves, we're going to attract unhealthy in other people. In fact, that, you know, if you want your outside world to change, you got to change your inside world first. And that has to do with what I call energy signatures. It's the same as a vibe. You know, people, we all give off a vibe, right? Well, I call it an energy signature. And energy signatures can be healthy or unhealthy. And so if we were to have an unhealthy energy signature, we have issues, we have things we got to work on, and we're not happy, blah, 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 we're going to attract the same thing in other people. You've heard the expression, birds of a feather flock together. You know, like attracts like. Opposites do not attract. Opposites do not attract. Like attracts like. So if you have a healthy energy signature, you're going to attract other healthy people into your world. If you have an unhealthy one, you're going to attract unhealthy people into your world. So the first point is you got to know and accept yourself. And one of the first places to start with that is, first of all, don't compare yourself with other people. That's a big one. And also understand that you're perfect just the way you are. Doesn't mean you don't have things to work on. Doesn't mean you don't make mistakes. But you're perfectly where you're at because of the decisions and the choices you've made in your life. And so if you want to be somewhere different, you make better decisions or different decisions. So the first point is know and accept yourself. Michael, any comments?
Well, I think that that's very well said. And it just makes me think of a saying, and I apologize, I don't know who said it. But there's a saying that I really love. It's there is no nobility in being superior to your fellow man, only to your former self. And that's always been a great example that we can't constantly compare ourselves to others, or you know, use the same criteria to judge ourselves as other people judge themselves. And when you think like that, I think it brings about obviously a certain level of confidence and a certain comfort in your own skin that is only going to make your relationships a more healthy relationship, I should say. It's one of the only ways to really have a truly healthy relationship is to have that kind of real understanding of yourself and to not constantly judge yourself compared to others.
Definitely. Very good. All right. So the first point, know and accept yourself. The second point is know and accept the other person. Now, this kind of builds off the first point, obviously, but we have to start with ourselves, and then we move on to the second point, know and accept the other person. So, you know, this has to do, you know, a lot with intimate relationships or very close relationships. And we'll kind of center on intimate relationships, marriages, partnerships, whatnot. You know, the thing, you got to know and accept the other person. And if you accept the other person for who they are, which is what you should do, then you don't try to change them. You don't try to control them. You don't try to make them into your definition of a dream person. You know and accept them for who they are. That's really the nuts and bolts of it. You know, if you can't accept another person for who they are, okay, fine, then you're not in a relationship with them. It's that simple. So you either accept them for who they are or you're not in a relationship with them at all. And if you do accept them for who they are, then that means you don't nitpick, you don't nag, you don't change them, you don't control them, you don't tell them what to do. You accept them for who they are. They're adults. You're an adult. You let them be adults. Remember, we're all walking our own path here, and you have to let them walk their path. So accept them for who they are, and if you can't, fine. I mean, that happens all the time. You know, you have to cease the relationship with them. You know, forgive and forget everyday mistakes freely. You know, people make mistakes. You know, be willing to just look those over. You know, we'll get to more serious mistakes down the list a little bit. But basically, that's the deal. No one except the other person. Any comments, son?
No, not right now.
Okay. Let's go on then to number three. Don't try to change, control, or manipulate others. Ha! Boy, I got ahead of myself. And I even wrote them. So, you know, that's been said well, you know. And I guess I could expand just slightly. We don't try to change people. We don't try to control people. And there's a very good reason for that, because it will never work. You don't fight human nature, because if you fight human nature, you're going to lose every time. So if you try to control or change people, they don't want to be changed. They don't want to be controlled any more than you do. You know, and that's the thing. So many times people want to change or control us to better fit in with their definition of who we should be, with their identity. And if we do cave into that, if we allow other people to change and control us, we give up our own identity and we assume their identity. So we're no longer unique. We're just a clone of them. So we don't try to control them. We don't try to change them. And the big part of that is not giving unsolicited advice. Now, folks, I'm going to tell you this again, and I've repeated this in our courses numerous times, especially in the first few courses. I repeat it numerous times. Don't give unsolicited advice, because when you do, that's trying to change or control somebody. Now, if they ask you for advice, it's a different matter. Go ahead, you know, share it as you see fit and as they've asked. But if they haven't asked for it, don't share it. Don't give unsolicited advice. And if you're a parent with adult children, do not give your adult children unsolicited advice. This is a big problem for a lot of parents. They want to try to still run their kids' lives even after they've grown up and they're adults. Stop doing it. You had your chance when they were kids to guide them right and whatnot. It's no longer your business to run their lives. Period. And I'm being pretty direct with this, because some people need that. They need to be, you know, slapped a little bit. They need to be shocked a little bit. Stop trying to control your kids' lives, your adult children. And frankly, as your children grow older into their, through their teen years, you need to give them more leniency. You need to give them more latitude, because that's what they're going to want. And if you don't, no problem. They're going to take it and you'll lose them. So let them grow into that independence. They're going to stumble. They're going to trip. They're going to bloody their knees and so forth. They have to do that just like we had to do that. You need to let them learn their lessons, deal with their scrapes and their cuts, and get up, brush themselves off, and move on. That's just life. So don't try to change them. Don't try to control them. Don't try to manipulate them. Honey, do you really think you should eat that second piece of cake? Wrong. Don't do that. Let them do whatever they want, you know, as long as it's not harming anybody. Mm-hmm. So, any comments on?
I would just say, I mean, that, like you were saying earlier, you don't want to try to change somebody, but at the same time, depending on what the situation is, of course, you also have your right to be honest about how you feel about it. Where I'm talking about something a little bit more drastic than you shouldn't be eating that second piece of cake. But just in the sense that open communication is always a good thing.
Yeah, it's always a good thing. Okay, so before I go on to the next point, there was a comment, is the chat working? And it may not have been. I just turned off the caching for the website, so give it a moment or two, and then the chat should come through. I'm sorry about that. I neglected to turn that off before we started. I've been doing that every week. We have a security software on our website because it was because the hackers wouldn't leave it alone. They kept sending out a bunch of spam emails on our account. So we've had a service now for over a year, and it's worked beautifully, and we have no problems anymore with that. But I got to turn off the caching so that our chat room will work. And so I believe that it is. So I'm going to type something in here just to get it going. So let me see, are there any questions? I don't see any real questions. Let's go back to our principles, 10 principles of empowered relationships. I don't have a list of these anywhere other than in our courses. So if you're interested in this, in learning more about this, you can take the standalone course. Let me go to Thomas Francis, and I'll get you the exact course number. It's courses G80 and G90 at Thomas Francis University. It's tfuniversity.org. You can take those standalone courses, and it goes into great detail on all these points here. So, all right, let's go on to the next point. So we've talked about the first three, know and accept yourself. Number two, know and accept the other person. Number three, don't try to control or change them. And number four is don't do for others that which they could and should do for themselves. Now, this is something that a lot of people do. I mean, I was a king of this at one point. Don't do things for other people that they could and should do for themselves. Now, this doesn't mean you can't do a nice for people. It just means that we don't want to practice doing things for others that they could and should do for themselves, because that is the definition of codependence and enabling them. And so there's a lot of depth to this point number four, which again is discussed in the course material. But this particular point here, if a person could do it and they should do it, then you need to let them do it. Because when we do things for other people that they could and should do for themselves, we're assuming responsibility for that other person, and we don't have the right to do that. So let them do their thing. Now, if somebody should do it but can't do it and they need to, then you can help them out. But you also have to be careful that you don't want to enable somebody in a destructive pattern. You know, if they've made bad choices one after the other and after the other after the other, you need to make a decision on whether you're helping them will actually enable them to continue not taking responsibility for themselves. So it's kind of a judgment call, but you need to let them do their thing, let them learn their lessons, let them grow. Because we don't, if we always do things for other people, we're not letting them grow. We're bailing them out all the time. Go ahead, Michael, if you have a point.
Well, I was just thinking how often I see that, and in my peer group, you know, and my friends, coworkers, you know, just people I come into contact with in my daily life. It's amazing to me how codependent some of these relationships are when you really hear about the details of it. And of course, there's that line about not giving unsolicited advice. So, depending on the situation, I don't broach it very often. And one of the reasons I can spot it so easily is because, you know, it takes one to know one. And just like you were saying earlier, it's something that I developed to a degree as well. And I've also been thinking that it's almost kind of selfish in a way, because, like you said, you're depriving them of a lesson they need to learn. And you're also, in a sense, manipulating them so that they need you. And it feels good to be needed, doesn't it? But, again, you're depriving them of a lesson that life is trying to teach them sometimes. But there's a balancing act. Obviously, if somebody should do something but can't, you have to make a judgment call. And, you know, sometimes you're wrong, but sometimes it helps somebody out when they needed it.
Yep. And so, you know, there are different types of, obviously, relationships. We talk about codependent relationships. There's also dependent relationships where somebody's completely dependent on another and they, without good cause. But then there's the one that we want. It's called interdependent relationships. And that's where you're both partners. You're equal partners, and you do things together. You share the load and all, and neither one of you is dependent, neither one of you is codependent, but it's an interdependent. It's based on mutual dependence. So we depend on each other in a healthy way, and that's what we want to shoot for. I just want to read a quote here. The author of Life's Little Instruction Book, H. Jackson Brown Jr., says this: remember that the best relationship is one in which your love for each other exceeds your need for each other. You know, so that's a good thing. You know, I mean, we want to love each other, but it's just like Tracy and I for all these years. I mean, this show would be married 19 years. You know, we still have yet to have an argument or a fight. We've never had an argument, ever. Not one ever. And I'm not boasting about it. I'm just saying that's the facts. We've never had an argument. You know, it helps that we're so much alike. You know, we get along and neither one of us tries to control the other. We don't try to tell each other what to do. You know, we have a mutual dependence. We have an interdependent relationship. And one of the things we often joke about is we don't need the other one. We want the other one, but not, we don't need, you know, if I got hit by a bus today, you know, Tracy could go on. She doesn't, quote, need me, unquote, and vice versa. And that's fine. We get along beautifully, and we've never argued about anything. We have talks and discussions, which is the next point. And before I get on to that, anything you want to add, Michael?
Well, I was just honestly thinking about how common that perception is. Being Valentine's Day, The Notebook, a classic romantic movie, it has been splashed everywhere. And it is a good movie. It's a touching story, but it's of two people that absolutely need each other. And it fosters this notion of romance as that kind of fervent, you know, that kind of, you need that person in your life, you can't live without them, you can't move on, you have to go back, and ultimately you win their heart, it's all this whole thing. But that's not really the reality, is it? And it's good to remember that a healthy relationship is interdependent.
Yep, and there are two points I'll end with this point with. You know, people who have healthy interdependent relationships do the following. Number one, they give of themselves equally in a mutually beneficial relationship. And number two, we're getting some static, I think, on your end, son. I'm not sure what it is. The number two point is they allow others to be who they are, make their own choices, and receive the benefits and or consequences of their actions, even if those choices and actions mean you go separate directions. So, you know, healthy interdependence is all about respect for free will. So let's get on to the fifth point, communicate and collaborate. No, I don't hear it anymore. Thanks. Communicate and collaborate. One of the two most important traits of any relationship, in my opinion, is communication. I'll tell you the other one in a moment. So there's a lot of important traits in a relationship, yes, but one of the two most important is communication. And so we need to communicate, because a lack of communication will kill any relationship. If you want to end a relationship with anybody, stop communicating. Because the instant you stop communicating is the instant that relationship dies. And if you want to cut off a relationship with somebody, you do the no contact rule. You cut off communication. You don't talk to them. You don't text them. You don't email them. You don't psychically transmit messages. Okay, it was a joke, sort of, but not really. But you get the point. You don't communicate. As soon as you stop communicating, the relationship is dead. It's over with. Because lack of communication will kill any relationship. And you can take that in even into the business world. Customer service, lack of communication will kill the relationship. And a lot of folks don't understand how important it is to communicate. And that means communicating your feelings, especially in intimate relationships, communicating your feelings in an assertive way, in a kind way. You can have discussions. You know, it's like Tracy, when we have important matters to discuss, we discuss them. We don't yell, we don't holler, we don't raise our voices, we discuss them. Everybody's entitled to an opinion. And we don't always agree on everything. And this is where deference comes in. In fact, I'm gonna, it's deference rather than submission. You know, I don't do the submissive relationship. You know, the old religious patriarchal system where the wife has to be submissive to the husband? Baloney. And I would use stronger language, you know, like family program. It's baloney. Submissiveness is ridiculous. I prefer deference. That means to defer. So with Tracy and I, we will defer to the other, to the a better solution the other one may have. So, you know, you can always defer to a better solution, one perhaps better judgment, whatever it is. You can defer, you know. So that's part of communication. You don't have to always be right. insist on being right. You know, we want to be right. Well, sometimes we're not. It's okay. No big deal. We defer to the better way. So that's how you deal with conflict resolution, is don't just have a calm, mature, adult-like conversation. Zero yelling, zero hollering. Just work it out.
Mm-hmm.
Comments?
Well, it just makes life so much easier. And when you have an open dialogue about what your expectations are. And so this is another thing that you see so often in relationships, is people will go months, years, and they'll both have entirely different expectations about what they want from the relationship. And it's unfortunate, really, because, I mean, on every level of a relationship with your partner, it's going to be better when you have an open communication about where you can express what your expectations and what do you want to get from this relationship, and they tell the same. And that's how you know that you're linking up, that you're syncing, that you are, that it's working out, is because you have a healthy understanding about who they are and vice versa. And, you know, I think right back to what you were saying about the not buying into kind of a submissive relationship, it's very strange to me these days after, being raised by, you and Tracy. It's odd when people will talk, well, that's, you know, oh, that's the wife's job, or that's the husband's job, or this and that, because responsibilities are divvied up so evenly from what I recall, and it's, makes perfect logical sense. I mean, for a good portion of my life, you were my primary, you know, caregiver, nurturer, everything. You were, albeit a single father for a long time. And so I actually take offense anytime they say, oh, yeah, men are never good at raising kids or anything like that. I say that's just an unfortunate stereotype that has very little bearing in reality. It's about the individual. It's about the individual soul. And it's wise not to make judgments based on stereotypes and always. We've already recognized how damaging it can be when you buy into stereotypes when it comes to racism or the recent, you know, empowerment movement, the Me Too movement in overcoming stereotypes and equality. I mean, this applies to the other way too. Not that, you know, we've been pretty lucky when it comes to a lot of them, but one thing that keeps persisting is that men do this, women do this. Men, you know, oh, can't cook, can't take care of the house, can't do this or that. You know, can't. You hear it from different people all the time, and I'd like to think that that way of thinking is going to be left behind in history. I feel like we're moving away from it already, and I find that encouraging.
Yep, very good. One last thing that I will mention on this point here is point number 5, communicate and collaborate, is that of jealousy. Healthy relationships are devoid of jealousy. Jealousy is to relationships what cancer is to the body. You know, sometimes people can become very possessive, which is a result of low self-esteem and a high need to control. You know, jealous people not only shirk personal responsibility, they try to take it away from the other person. They don't respect free will. They violate human rights because they assume an attitude of ownership over another person. You know, they might as well wear a neon sign on their foreheads that flashes insecure, unstable, control freak. Robert A. Heinlein, he's a science fiction writer. I'm sure most of you know who he was. He wrote, "A competent and self-confident person is incapable of jealousy in anything. Jealousy is invariably a symptom of a neurotic insecurity." So, if you find yourself jealous, well, that's something you're going to have to deal with, because it's unhealthy and it will kill your relationship. You need to stop trying to control the other person. You don't own them. If they walk away tomorrow, well, that's just is what it is. And that's where self-completeness comes into play. You don't, quote, need, unquote, the other person to fulfill you, to complete you. They're there. You're with another person because you find it mutually beneficial. You know, you love the other person. You have an interdependent relationship. You work together as partners, and you make your way in life. But jealousy will decimate all that. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go on to number 6, show mutual honor and respect as equals. We've been pretty much talking around that. You have to consider the other person an absolute equal. There is no inequality between men and women. You know, both can do the other what the other can do, you know, and in every way that matters. So, you know, there is no room for inequality. Women are not, they're not lesser than men. Men are not better. Men are not worse, you know, and I'm just gonna throw in a thing here. You know, there's been oppression by people of both genders for ages, okay? Yes, men have done a lot of stuff to women. I get it. But women have done a lot of stuff to men too. So to be a man hater or be a woman hater is wrong. It's unhealthy. You know, I don't know what I do. I get a chuckle. And I have to say something anytime I come across somebody, a female who, you know, hates men. Well, you know, my life was almost ruined by women, but I don't hate women. I love women. And, you know, I don't go that way. It wasn't the fact that they were women that did it. It was people. And so we have to steer way away from that kind of thinking. All right, so number 6, show mutual honor and respect as equals. Any comments on?
Well, I was just going to agree. I mean, it's all about the individual. I mean, we have to be able to embrace a complex and nuanced view of the world that we can expand our minds beyond a simple, oh, all women are bad because of this. I hate that. I have guys that will talk about how, and it's because of their own perspective, they don't have the awareness to see beyond their immediate, you know, wants and desires, their immediate own perception on the whole matter. But all women do this, or, you know, they da-da-da-da-da, and the same vice versa with guys. And it's just such a simplistic, easy out. How about we just accept the challenge and realize that the world around us is complex and nuanced, and it's not so easy to say that everybody, that X group does Y thing. It's just too easy.
Yep. And this point segues into number 7, evolve while maintaining your individual identity. Kind of talked about that early on. We don't want to assume the identity of the other person because then we've lost our own. So we need to understand that each person is a separate identity. And if we have compatible energy signatures that are healthy, well, we work together. You know, a common aspect of abusive relationships is where one person assumes the identity of the other. But it can happen in non-abusive relationships too, where one person assumes the identity of the dominant personality. But that's unhealthy. It's not the way to go. And this is why we talked about the very first point, know and accept yourself. You've got to stand on your own 2 feet. Both of you do. And having your own identity also means that you don't, quote, live, unquote, for the other person. It's contrary to self-completeness. You know, author and founder of Objectivism, Ayn Rand, emphasizes when she wrote, "I swear by my life and my love of it that I will never live for the sake of another man, nor ask another man to live for mine." It's a very healthy attitude on that. Relationship author Leo Viscaglia wrote, "Don't smother each other. No one can grow in the shade." And way back in 1923, in a book, The Prophet, author Cahill Gibran wrote, "But let there be spaces in your togetherness." So just because, you know, your partners and you're close and all that doesn't mean that you don't have your own interests, your own identity, your own things that you do. Give each other space. We all need space. So be mindful of that. We don't need to be together 100% of the time. Sometimes we just need downtime. So give them space. Comments?
No, I think that was well said.
Okay, number 8. Hold true to your commitments and never betray another's trust. Remember I said that one of the two most important relationship traits was communication. The other one is trust. Never, for any reason, betray the trust of another, of the other person, of anybody really, but especially in intimate relationships, you never betray their trust. Now, there are various degrees of betraying a trust. Some are fairly benign, but we still don't want to do it. And then there's, of course, the grievous. If you have a committed relationship, in other words, you don't have an open relationship, that means that you don't cheat on them. You don't step out on them. You know? And if you feel like you have to do that, then you do the right thing and you break up with the person first. Then go live your life. But don't betray their trust for any reason. I'll tell you why. Because if you do, the relationship you once had will never, ever, ever be the same as it was. It's like, you know, you break a vase and you try to glue it back together. Well, you might glue it back together, but it's going to have this big crack running down it. You know, it will never be the same as it once was. So if you betray another person's trust, the relationship you had is over. And that's why I find it honestly laughable that there are these people who write books on correcting marriages that, you know, where one person's betrayed the other one. It ain't going to happen. Because they'll always have that question. They did it once. Will they do it again? And it will never be the same. Now, that doesn't mean that people won't stick together. That's fine. It's up to them. I'm not going to tell them whether they should or shouldn't. But I will tell them that their relationship will never, ever be like it once was. So avoid that under any circumstances. You know, we don't, as far as metaphysical humanists, you know, we don't have things on adultery and all that stuff. We don't have dogma on that. What we do have is the first principle of belief. Do no harm, do right. If you feel that you can't remain with a person for whatever reason, you know, maybe it's just you've grown apart or you're no longer compatible, whatever it is, changing in different energy signatures, whatever it is, do the right thing. End the relationship, then go and have a relationship with who you want. But don't betray their trust. Any comments?
No. I hate to say it again, but that was very well said and just so very true. That everybody's going to have, again, their own expectations, and we are all free. We all have the free will to decide, along with another person, what kind of relationship you want to have. But if you have that monogamous relationship and you break that trust, it's never going to be the same. And you might overcome it. Some people might be able to do that, and that's up to them. But it'll never be the same.
Good. All right, number 9, keep the relationship alive. That just means, you know, keep it, keep nurturing it, keep it alive, do things together, do fun things, whatever you like together, you know. Spend quality time together, have a regular date night. These are just some suggestions. Take mini vacations together, maybe just for a day. Spend time pursuing a common interest. Give each other birthday cards, anniversary cards, special occasion cards. Look for ways to do an unexpected nice for the other person. Surprise them with a gift, maybe something they've wanted. Take walks together, hold hands, give the other a smile, steal a hug or a kiss. You know, lay out under the stars, reminisce about the early days of your relationship or special times you've had. Say thank you, please, I'm sorry, often and as appropriate. Pay compliments generously as appropriate. With things like maybe you look nice or supper was great or you did an outstanding job on that or thank you for doing this. You know, be best friends. And that's really what makes a great relationship. And number 10, settle only for win-win. Remember, Any healthy relationship is a win-win proposition. It's not win-lose where you win and they lose. It's not lose-win where you lose and they win. It's win-win. And so make sure that you both win, that you're both getting your needs met, and that you work together. You know, it's all about give and take too. So those are points. Any comments?
Nothing I'd like to add to that. I think it was very well said.
All right, so those are the 10 principles of empowered relationships. And again, if you want more information, you can take the courses. And if you're a student at IMHS, you've taken them or you're going to take them. At TFU, you may take them depending on your specialization, but you can also take them the standalone courses at Thomas Francis University, G80 and G90, tfuniversity.org. Now, just briefly, related to relationships, Michael, you had a point you wanted to make about kind of segueing off of what we talked about last week about leaving the religion of your youth. You want to mention that?
Well, originally I'd been thinking of it in the context of your family, your extended family, aunts, uncles, cousins, even brothers and sisters, but it would definitely come to a romantic partner as well. I mean, you at times might find that your energy shifts, that you are looking for a new path, that you find that your current belief system is not working any longer, and you'll be forced to make a change, and your romantic partner might not be on the same page. They might not be in the same position or in the same place. And at that point, I think that open-minded people and then people that are willing to accept each other for who they are and respect each other's beliefs, they can continue to have a healthy relationship, given that both have underpinning philosophies of respect and equality. But there are going to be times in romantic relationships and with family where they're going to be forced to really stand your ground when it comes to really holding on to your power and not letting it be taken from you, and taking your power back when the scales have gone too far the other way. And it's, you have to remember that it's always better to live the truth, better and freer, to be who you are, to live the truth of your life than it is to live a lie. Because what is the point? Why are you here if it's just to facilitate a story, a fiction? You're here to live your life. You're here to be true to yourself. This is, in this life, this is all that matters now. The Buddha was famous for saying, we don't know where we came from. We don't know where we came before. We don't know where we're going to go after we pass. What matters is the here and now, is what we do in this life. And it should not be wasted on something so foolish as just perpetuating a fiction. But
well put. Well put. Got anything more? Or are you done?
Well, at the same time, for me, and this is especially true when it comes to extended family, where you don't have a, where they're not your partner, your life, you know, partner to go. To spend your life with, when it's a relation, I would also say it's if you can have a relationship where you can respect each other's points of view, you don't have to agree. You don't. You can live your life and you can let them live theirs, but you can still love them and still have a relationship as long as you have that mutual respect.
Yep. Fran wrote in the chat room that on 25th of February here, her husband and her would be married 30 years. They discussed how they made it this long, and they decided it's because they've always been best friends and they trust each other. You know, couldn't say it better. That's the point. You know, you want to have a successful marriage or partnership like that, be best friends. You know, trust each other. That's the way to do it. That's the secret. You know, you're best friends. You know, and if you're best friends, well, you don't betray them and you don't hurt them, and you know, you don't do anything like that. Neither one of you do. You're just best friends. So, all right, we're going to wrap things up in a moment. If you'd like a inner oracle card pulled, put your name in the chat room real quick, and we'll do that fast, and then we'll wrap up the program. We've talked about a lot of stuff tonight and on relationships and how to make them successful. And again, if you want to learn more about that and you're not a student already, you can go to tfuniversity.org and just look for the course descriptions. Look for course G80 and G90, and that will go in deep into them. All right, Fran would like a card, son. You want to pull that card for Fran?
I am always happy to pull a card for Fran. And middle of the deck, freshly shuffled, number 22, think for yourself, and how could it not be more appropriate?
Mm-hmm.
Better understanding one's own mind brings one closer to honesty and self-responsibility. Thinking for yourself prevents being swayed by the potentially unhealthy thinking of others, as well as outside popular beliefs simply for popularity's sake. If you don't think for yourself, you sacrifice your identity for someone else's identity. This may be a time to exercise critical thinking in order to best determine and listen to your own truth.
I tell you, these cards amaze me every week. They just do. I mean, we've talked about that, so think for yourself. And that's what we need in close relationships, too. Each person needs to think for themselves. That's why two are better than one. You know, you make it, I mean, Tracy and I are much better together than we would be apart. I could do anything I do alone, but I'm much better at what I do when she's in my world, in my life. And everything that you see, if you're a student, yeah, I wrote most of the courses and I created it all. But her input was there every step of the way. You know, I mean, she was part of it. She's like more like a silent partner, but that's her role. That's what she wanted. And I put it together, but none of it came to fruition all by myself. So, I mean, I could have done it by myself, but it's much better with her in it. All right, let's go to Heather with the card.
And Heather, I pulled number 13, positive consciousness. It is our soul's natural inclination to be positive. Therefore, positive consciousness transcends positive thinking. As human beings, we can often find ourselves with a need to filter negativities and ill will. Be at peace with your natural self and continue displaying goodwill towards others. Don't hate or hold hatred in your heart. Maintain your positive attitude in the face of obstacles and discouragements, for they are temporary.
Good. It's a good card. Always remain positive because it'll pass. Anything negative will pass. All right. Dr. Darlene would like a card.
And I pull number 34. Take and release ownership. Ownership and entitlement are not the same. Ownership is taking responsibility with a healthy attitude. Entitlement is expecting more than what is earned. Further, codependence is taking an unhealthy ownership for other people's problems and feelings. This may be a time to reflect on owning only what is yours and releasing the rest.
All right. Very good. I mean, we talked about that, too.
Absolutely.
All right. Awesome. I think the last card is Dr. Angie.
Of course. And so far, they've been tying together pretty well.
Mm-hmm.
And let's see. Again, middle from the deck. Well, this is an excellent way to round it out. It's number 6, boundaries.
Yeah. We talked around it, but we didn't specifically mention that. So. But that's a big part of healthy relationships is respecting boundaries.
And I'm happy you got this card, Dr. Energy, because I think this really rounds out our discussion. This card represents boundaries. It's important for you to establish clear boundaries for yourself. Equally, it is necessary to be aware of others and to not overstep or encroach on their boundaries. This is a mark of self-complete individual. Reassess and assertively protect your healthy boundaries while looking to see if you are overstepping elsewhere. Begin with asking yourself, who owns me?
That's it. Good.
Mm-hmm. And I think we did discuss that, and maybe not in so many words, well, but...
Yeah, we talked, I mean, everything, it was the undercurrent of what we were talking about.
Oh, absolutely.
Boundaries, you gotta have them, healthy boundaries, so you know, you gotta respect each other's boundaries. So we've talked about a lot of stuff tonight, some great points, excellent points, stuff that's taken a lifetime to learn and compile. And so if you follow these 10 principles of empowered relationships, your relationships will get better, especially if you stop trying to control and change other people. And it's the one, stop doing it. Stop giving unsolicited advice. I mean, if you just do that one, your relationships are going to improve dramatically. So, great points, and we appreciate everybody's time tonight. Thank you for joining us live, for those that did, and then thank you to those who are listening to the archive. We appreciate your time as well. And next week we'll be back, of course. Dr. Hunter will be back with us next week as well. So thanks to Michael for his help tonight. Again, thanks to everyone. Until next week, listen, think, learn, grow, and live. Good night.
Good night, everyone.